We are actually at the fair, and I have asked Sarah Lewis if she would come and share some of her expertise, not about gardening necessarily, but about what you do with the stuff from the gardening. For those of you who do not know, Sarah Lewis is, what's your official title at the Cooperative Extension?
I'm the Family and Community Development Agent.
Well, that doesn't say that you're an expert in canning and whatnot, but that's what she is. And so I want to tap into her expertise to ask a little bit about canning and freezing and just preserving in general. So a lot of the questions that I'm going to ask Sarah today are questions that either have been asked of me. People ask me and think that I should know something about this. Or questions that I've had myself. So we will hopefully get time to discuss a bunch of different things about preserving. So let's start with canning, because canning is kind of important. You know what you're doing.
Yes.
That's one of the things that I always say to new gardeners, or not gardeners, people who are preserving food, that freezing and drying, you can kind of fudge a little bit, you're not going to get a disease. But canning, it's important you do right. And why is that?
That is because if you are canning low acid foods, so naturally low acid foods are all animal products, so mm-hmm. that would be fish, deer, etc., or vegetables. Vegetables mm-hmm. are low acid foods. Mm-hmm. There is one vegetable that is high acid food, that's rhubarb.
Rhubarb. What about tomatoes?
Tomatoes are actually a fruit.
Oh, they're a fruit.
Yep,
okay.
But
okay.
They actually do behave a little more like a vegetable mm-hmm. when it comes to canning, mm-hmm. because, of course, cucumbers are also a fruit, and so are zucchini, but they definitely behave like a vegetable when it comes to canning.
Okay.
So naturally low-acid foods are most vegetables, all animal products. And the issue is when you put a low-acid food into a jar, mm-hmm. you're actually creating a low oxygen environment in that jar. And low acid foods in general, you know, if you're just doing food safety in a standard commercial kitchen, low acid foods are going to be those that are going to be more inviting to potentially harmful bacteria. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, in a standard commercial kitchen, you know, you have E. coli, Listeria, things like that, that you're, you know, doing a kill step
right.
to get rid
mm-hmm.
of those when you're cooking. When you are canning and you are putting a low acid food in a jar, a very specific bacteria, Clostridium botulinum.
Botulinum, as most people know it as. Yeah.
Botulism. So it likes low acid, low oxygen environments. So when you put something, a low acid food, into a jar, it could still harbor Clostridium botulinum. And Clostridium botulinum creates the botulism toxin.
I see.
Yeah, it's one of its sort of metabolites, one mm-hmm. of the things that it creates while it's living in a food.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are two types of canning. One of the types is pressure canning.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks in Southeast have heard about that and done it and things.
Because most of us do, well, we have to do fish that
way. Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And so the reason you need to pressure can is because Clostridium botulinum spores are not killed at boiling water temperatures.
Oh.
So 212 degrees, doesn't matter how long you boil water, it's not going to go above 212.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how long you boil a Clostridium botulinum spore, it will never be killed. You wow. must get to 240 degrees. And the only way to do that is to add pressure.
Okay.
That's how you get the water to 240. And that's why low acid foods, you need to use a tested recipe that tells you how long it needs to be pressure canned mm-hmm. for. So a lot of us know that fresh fish, you know, frozen or fresh fish, unsmoked fish mm-hmm. is 100 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Smoked fish is going to be 110.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are some of the longest. Mm-hmm. Lots of other things that are pressure canned, lots of different times associated with
them. So you need to look it up.
Yeah,
and
we need to look it up.
I have to look it up every year. You know, even though I do it year after year, I still look it up.
I brought my little book in case you had a question and I needed to look something up. Yep.
Yep. So the bottom line is that it's just important to follow those because that's what you need to make sure that it doesn't have that.
Right.
And that's a serious thing. I mean,
it
it's
is.
Not like you just get sick.
It is. And one thing that I also like to add, because people will hear that and they're like, anything in a jar is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Jams and jellies, yeah. rhubarb, pickles, those can be water bath canned.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they're not, even if they were in the fridge or maybe someone, you know, did leave it, what it's going to be yeasts and molds. Mm-hmm. You're just worried about spoilage. Yeasts and molds aren't universally harmful. Right. Yeah, they're not universally harmful.
What about cherries? Somebody just asked me that the other day. I always water bath mine.
Yeah, those are a fruit. Yeah. Those are
Oh, they're a fruit. Yeah, of course.
Exactly. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so while we're talking about canning, I just learned that those little things that wiggle on top of your canner, the weight.
Yep.
I don't know. It seems like I should have known this, but they're different weights for different different pressures. So explain that, and how does that fit in with the gauge and all of that?
Right. So I'm going to back up just a little bit. Because one confusion that has been coming up recently is the difference between a pressure cooker and a pressure canner. And those gauges are one of the most important differences.
Okay.
So the way that you know you have a pressure canner, first of all, and it's become a very important issue recently because so many people have Instant Pots or other electric pressure cookers, and they hear pressure and they think that it's doing something similar. Mm-hmm. Pressure cookers do a completely different job. Mm-hmm. Pressure canners, the way you know you have a pressure canner is the first thing, it actually has to be have a volume that will hold 4 1-quart jars.
Okay.
So if it's too short or too narrow, whatever, and you can't get, then it's that's a pressure cooker,
even if
it's stovetop. Mm-hmm. That's a pressure cooker. So the other really important thing is a pressure canner will have a way that it tells you what the pressure is inside and that pressure is being maintained. Mm-hmm. And that's the gauges.
Right. Okay.
So, and the thing where it gets confusing, and so I'm trying to think, you know, how to do a diagram in the air on radio, because so pressure canners come in two types. There are dial gauge canners. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones where you need to pay attention to the dial gauge. It's actually
got
numbers on it.
10 pounds right? or 15 pounds.
Right,
or
exactly. Mm-hmm. And there are weighted gauge canners where you know what the pressure is inside based on a weight that will jiggle. Sometimes they're called jigglers, rattlers. Mm-hmm. But what they are is they're actually a gauge. They are telling you when they start to rattle that the canner has reached a certain pressure.
And when I canned the other night, I went, wow, it's 15 pounds and it's wiggling.
Yes, exactly. So the thing that gets confusing is that a lot of canners, modern canners, Presto and All American tend to be the most prevalent in Southeast Alaska. They give you the option of doing either one of those. You can use your canner as a dial gauge canner or you can use it as a weighted gauge canner.
So using it as a weighted gauge canner, it basically just means that you need to keep that jiggling.
Right.
As long as it's jiggling, you know it's at 15 pounds.
Well, actually, let's back up a little bit there. So we in Southeast Alaska at sea level, pretty much everything that we're going to pressure can is going to need to be canned at 11 pounds of pressure.
Okay.
That's what gets it to 240 degrees at sea level. So when you look at a tested recipe, it'll tell you in a weighted gauge canner, 10 pounds, in a dial gauge canner, 11 pounds. So if you have a canner that gives you the choice, you could use your 15-pound weight and watch your dial gauge. That's your gauge. That's your active gauge is the dial gauge. And when that gets up to 11 pounds, you're up to pressure.
Turn your not heat off, but
you can start moderating it at that point. Yeah, to keep it at 11 pounds. Mm-hmm. And the 15-pound weight, that is only there if you walk away and go to the bathroom and the heat goes up, it'll start rattling and let you know that it's at 15 pounds, you're over-processing, and then you dial it back and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And so the 15-pound weight is kind of never really supposed to rattle. If you're using, because you're using it as a dial gauge canner. The other option is there are All American canners, and then you can buy a special kind of weight for your Presto canners that gives you the option of 5, 10, or 15 pounds. And so there are some recipes that call for 5. They're not a whole lot of the things that we do in Southeast. 10-pound weight. And the confusing thing is it's a 10-pound weight, but it starts to rattle when it gets above 10 pounds in the canner.
Okay.
So once that
starts to rattle,
you know that it's at pressure.
Okay.
And as long as it stays rattling, you're maintaining that pressure.
Okay. Okay.
So it really is, and I use this a lot in my classes, but so many things are a personality test. It's about, do you want to hear it or do you want to watch it?
Do you want to see it?
And then there are other reasons why you might choose a dial gauge over a weighted gauge canner, that, you know, other sort of nuances that can happen. But
it's mostly personal preference.
It's mostly personal preference. Yeah. It's mostly personal preference.
Well, so that leads me to a question. Is there a harm in, like, processing my fish at 15 minutes?
There is no food safety issue with processing your fish at 15 minutes. The only things that might happen is you might have more jar seal failure, more jars that don't seal at the end.
Okay.
You might. You might have more jar breakage because the temperatures are getting higher. There's a few things that can happen, but they are entirely about sort of the, you know, the process, waste, not safety. Or you may be perfectly fine and do all of your stuff at 15. It is not safer. That's one thing that sometimes people get confused. Right. It's not safer to do it at 15. Mm-hmm. It is perfectly great, safe
to
at 11 pounds.
As long as it's 11. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But if that's what you got and you want to hear it and all you have is the 15 pound, that's perfectly fine.
Well, while we were talking about that, another question that I had is somebody asked me, why do I always have jar breakage? And I actually had that question one time. I'm embarrassed to admit that it took me about 3 years to figure out that why my jars were breaking is because I didn't put that middle, I did multiple layers, two layers of jars, and I somehow missed the lesson that you had to have that middle piece of metal, or I don't know, what do you call it?
A rack.
A rack.
Yep.
And so I was just putting them right directly on, right one on top of the other. And I have since learned that that is why I had, like, oftentimes four or five jars break. And it's like, what's going on? But you told me that I can do it without that rack.
You can, but you have to, the jar on the top layer needs to sit on two rims of the lower.
So it's like directly
can't sit directly on top. Set it on two lower jars right in between them.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So what are some other reasons why people have jars break besides ignorance of that?
Yeah. So they could be old. We use our jars a lot.
I know. And some of us use them a lot.
For lots of different purposes. Yeah, exactly. So there's that.
And have husbands who wash dishes in the sink and sometimes make a lot of noise when they're doing it.
Right. They get a lot of use. They're well loved. But another reason is you're temperature stressing them, you're heat stressing them. So canning jars are heat treated, but they're not Pyrex. So they can handle some temperature differences, but not an extreme one. So one of the things is to, if you're putting something cold into a jar, make sure it's a cold jar. If you're putting something hot into a jar, make sure you've heated that jar up. Easy ways to heat them is just to put your oven on the lowest temperature, put your jars in there until you're ready for them. They'll actually heat up in there really quickly. Pull them out when you're ready to put the whatever boiling item into your jar.
Or some people use their dishwashers.
Dishwasher's great. Do it on a dishwasher cycle that washes them and keeps them hot afterwards.
So what about taking that jar and then putting it in hot? Your canner, a lot of us will start the canning water and get the canner hot. And I broke a jar doing that one time because I thought it was not cold, but it was cold enough that there was enough contrast that the jar went.
Yes.
But the good thing about that was is that it did it right away. It did not do it after I had the canner going and all of that.
Yes, and then you had to clean all of your other jars.
Exactly. Which, that's another tip that I learned. What about using vinegar? Do you put vinegar in your water to keep it from...
I don't. Some folks do that if they have minerals in their water.
I do.
Because,
why.
So I never have. So but because
have
of that, I do have a little bit of...
It's white residue.
Yep.
So, and I guess I learned that from my mom because I grew up with hard water, and I have hard water now, that I always add just a teaspoon or a tablespoon of white vinegar, and it really does make it more appealing that your jars aren't... You don't have to clean them, basically.
Yes, right.
So... okay, anything else about jar breakage? I think that pretty much covers what...
Those are the
So another thing that I've observed is that not hardly ever is quart jars used for fish in particular, or meats. People are canning goats and whatnot. Is there a reason for that, or is it just preference?
So we do have a tested recipe for fish in quarts, but it's incredibly long.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The canning,
so
mean?
It, the, for the canning the process. Process. Yes. Mm-hmm. In the pressure canner, I want to say it's something like 2.5 hours.
Mm, wow.
And it's actually, so, you know, the times when I've looked at doing something like that, I've turned back to doing, you know, pint jars. I have a tall enough canner that I can actually stack the pints. Mm-hmm. So basically I'm getting the same amount for much less time.
Uh-huh.
So, and often a lot of people, a quart is too much unless yeah. you're in a food service situation.
That's what I wondered if it wasn't. But there is a way to do it.
There
it's
is.
Not. So if you look at it, it
yep.
could be done safely.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, we have run out of time. I would love to talk about from some freezing stuff, but Joni.
If you have a website, I can put something on.
Okay.
I don't know, whatever.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, Joni's going to say, your time is over. So thank you so much, Sarah.
My pleasure.
I think that this is information that a lot of people find helpful.
And if you can yeah. give them information about how to contact me, I'll answer other questions.
Well, it's maybe you should say that. It's the
Juneau Cooperative Extension.
Okay.
So 907-523-3280
okay.
is our main number.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
All right. The Garden Conversation, heard every Thursday morning here on KHNS. And let me see now what's going on. Oh, the community calendar, which is supported in part by Canal Marine and Auto at 704 Union Street, Outboard Marine, Steel Equipment, Auto Repair, Tire Swap, Mount and Balance. Open 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday at 766-2437. And it's 9 o'clock, straight up. Actually, not straight up. One hand is straight up. The other one is out to the side. And this Thursday, August 18th, happy birthdays today. Go out to Sheila Olat. Lotlin, Gary Crocto. Happy anniversary to James Alborough and Tigger Posey, Jason and Michelle Richardson, and Ramey and Joe Warchuk. Happy anniversary and happy birthday. Today in Haines and Cluckwan, Intermediate Tai Chi is at 9:30 in the Chilcat Center. Haines Sheldon Museum, it will be open from 10 a.m. until 4. The Hammer Museum is open from 10 till 5. Tai Chi for Seniors, 11 a.m. at the Chilcat Center. The Chilcat Kwan Heritage Center will be open from noon until 4. The Haines Public Library Board meeting is at 5 p.m. over Zoom. The Haines Public Library will be open from 10 until 7. Tomorrow in Haines, the pool opens with a lap swim at 7 a.m. and aqua aerobics at 8:30. Advanced Tai Chi is at 9:30 at the Chilcat Center. The Haines Sheldon Museum will be open at 10 a.m. The library opens at 10 a.m. with a story time at 11. The Chilcat Kwan Heritage Center opens at noon. Haines Senior Center meal delivery, call 766-2383 if you want your meal delivered. And today in Skagway, the rec center is open until 8:30 tonight. There is senior weight training this morning at 10:30, restorative yoga for all levels at 6 this evening, basketball at 6:30, and summer youth program from noon until 4. The Skagway Public Library is open from 10 a.m. until 7.